head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville and the city's, I think, best and coolest podcast, talking about local events and people and things that are going on in Louisville, Kentucky. This is 4th of July week. I am taping this on Tuesday during a rainstorm in St. Matthews. We had one just like this on Monday, and now we're having another one there on Tuesday. Hopefully, by the time you hear this on Thursday, all will be clear. I will be on a little mini vacation to Nashville, and I am looking forward to that. I am. And I'm also happy to be here in the studio of Louisville.am and bringing you the Rusty Satellite Show. We have a really special show this week, and it is mostly about Butchertown. It's one of my favorite parts of the city. It's got some of the coolest people, and we've got some of them on the show for you here today. In the second half of the show, our Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you, of course, by the Greater Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau, is one of the city's movers and shakers who is moving and shaking in Butchertown with, as the head of the committee that is running the Louisville City Soccer Stadium. There was a groundbreaking last week. It was very exciting. And there's a lot more happening in Butchertown, but I have one of the guys that makes things happen in this city. Mike Mountjoy is the is here to talk about the development of the soccer stadium, the journey that the soccer team has gone on since it started a few years ago. I have had several Rusty Satellite guests representing Louisville City FC over the short tenure. I had the team's founder Wayne Estopinall was on here as a guest, as was the team's PR guy, Jonathan Lintner. I had Amanda Duffy, who made news as one of the first female general managers of a team like this. And just this year, earlier, I had John Neese, who is basically doing the day-to-day duties at running the team. And so stay tuned for the second half of the show. You're going to love hearing from Mike Mountjoy. He's got a lot to say about it, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot about what's going on with the new soccer stadium from Mike, and he'll share that information right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. I want to mention a very exciting thing that's happening right here in the open, that I am getting ready to undergo LASIK for my eyes, so I'll be able to see better. I have started this process at the Eye Care Institute. It's the only place I would consider. You might remember that Eye Care Institute was a longtime sponsor of this show, and I'm very happy to welcome them back and to experience their services. I'm going to be taking you on that journey, updating you on what it's like to get LASIK, about the improvements that I expect to have. I've already been qualified and am in some temporary contacts that are supposed to simulate what it's going to be like after I get LASIK. And basically, I'm going to be able to see far and close without glasses and without contacts. So I'm very excited about that, and I've got a lot of news coming down the road about the Eye Care Institute, which is located in Butchertown. Mark Prussian, the president and CEO over there, will be quick to tell you that they were there first before all this great new stuff that's coming to Butchertown. Is right at the end of the exit ramp on Story Avenue, and the exit off 64 is where you can find the Eye Care Institute. 589-1500 if you want to make an appointment. So that's an exciting piece of news for the Rusty Satellite Show. And I want to mention one other thing about a sponsor. You may know that I am working with Passport Health Plan on a big project. It's called PassportWellbeing.com, and I've done some profiles of people in the West End, and I'm just really enjoying the project. I got an opportunity this week to talk to a guy named James Scott, and he owns a construction company, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when James told me his story, it just fascinated me for some reason. We're about the same age. He graduated from Thomas Jefferson High School in 1978, the same year I graduated from Iroquois. But and he's a big success now. I mean, his construction company is really doing well, doing into the millions in revenue. And James just told me a whole story about his life. It's worth writing a book about, and actually we discussed doing that. He has, just to make a long story short, not going to go the whole thing. I have written a story, and it'll probably be up in a couple of weeks on PassportWellbeing.com. But James is, he was a drug dealer for 10 years, and he shot a guy in Park Hill and overcame, and while he was briefly in prison, he found religion. He found Jesus, and he changed his life, and through a series of breaks. You might call them lucky breaks, but you might also call them being in the right place at the right time and doing the right thing. He has risen to just be an outstanding citizen in this community. I was really thrilled to talk to him. So that's the kind of story that I've been doing on PassportWellbeing.com on behalf of Passport Health Plan, one of the sponsors, longtime sponsors of this show. So how about that? Let's get into who our first guests are. And some of you may be familiar with the guy that makes things happen in Butchertown. His name is Andy Bleeden. He's quite a character. He himself makes for an interesting and entertaining interview. I went down to Butchertown. We went to the Roasters, which is two doors down, I think, from Fabaloo, which is where I originally met Andy and Mike Mountjoy. And boy, what a lunch business they're doing down there. That is that's really something. I didn't really understand how well Fabaloo was doing, but it is really something. It's going very well, as are a lot of things in Butchertown, as you'll hear in this interview. He's joined by Linda Schuster, who runs an ad agency and is a delightful person, and was glad to, she actually set up these interviews for me, and was a great help. And she is a part of the Butchertown Business Association, which certainly has a lot to talk about these days with all the things that are going on down there. So without rambling on any further, let me get out of the way here and let you hear my interview with Andy Bleeden and Linda Schuster.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at PassportHealthPlan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Okay, here we are in Butchertown, and I guess we got the mayor, the kingpin, the main man in Butchertown, Andy Bleeden, with us again.
Glad to be here. Remember, mayor of Butchertown is not an elected position.
Yeah, you're not going to run for office.
It's self-appointed.
I would vote for you.
And Linda Schuster is also here. Welcome, Linda. You do a lot of the PR, and you're on the board of what?
The Butchertown Business Alliance.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's very exciting.
It's really happening.
That's not an elected position either.
No. It's like everybody took one step back, and she was the one in front.
Wasn't paying attention.
I actually wasn't there.
She wasn't there. It was an appointed position without her knowing you were appointing her.
That is absolutely correct.
That's why you should go to every meeting.
Right.
There you go. Well, Andy, let's start with you. I've talked to you on the show before and talked about how great the things are going in Butchertown, where you're developing a lot of things. So let's start at where we are now. Tell me something I don't know about what's coming to Butchertown.
Well, that's a good question. You know, you might know this. The Service Tanks property was just sold and closed.
I saw that yesterday.
So
right?
It's not to Flournoy. It's to a company out of Indianapolis. And it's a really great development company. They just finished a $134 million mixed-use development in Nashville. So that's something that is going to have a profound impact on the way that the Butchertown is and the way Nulu is and the way Main Street is. So that's super exciting.
Now, have they said what they're going to put in there exactly, or anything
not
close?
They have not, but I think you're going to see a couple hundred apartments and retail and mixed uses. And they do really great architecture and stuff. And as you know, the stadium's coming in, and that has some amazing momentum.
Right.
And that is happening has created a really intense buzz. And
Main and Clay just had their grand opening.
Yeah.
I
know those apartments at Main and Clay.
Need to go see them because it's a great. The building is really fabulous, and when you go inside, you really see it because it looks like a box on the outside.
Right.
But when you go on the inside, there's a pool in the middle on the third floor or fourth floor. I can't remember. and then all of the apartments go around that square, so you look out on the pool. The pool is outside. It's fabulous. Wow. And then they also have like this multi-use clubhouse that everyone in the building can use. And it's really urban living. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really pretty cool. And they have a garage so everyone can park inside the garage. But it's really great architecture. And you really don't recognize it when you walk.
I would say inside, because outside is it leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, it looks like a box, but it's really cool on the inside. And all the apartments are kind of different too. So I don't think anybody really realizes until they go in how cool it is. And it's urban living. It's urban development.
They did a really nice job, and you know, you have to remember what it replaced, which was two large warehouses and
that were falling down
and gravel lots.
So
again, you know, it's that type of thing that creates some real positive velocity,
right?
In Butchertown, I've been here. We've been here for 20 years,
right?
And the buzz around Butchertown and just the excitement is unlike it's ever been any time that we've been in business here.
Well, and I even think the East End is coming down to Butchertown a lot mm-hmm. because I see a lot of friends that wouldn't normally drive downtown, whether we were driving to eat or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're coming to Butchertown. They're coming to all the different places, and it's really amazing. They're getting drivers now. They're Ubering mm-hmm. down, mm-hmm. and boom, they're here. And they're supporting all the local businesses is really nice.
Just came down here and was shocked. I drive by all the time, but I came and met you, Andy, at Fabaloo, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people in there eating lunch.
It's rocking every day.
It's like that every day, which is wonderful because, you know, again, the food is really consistent and they have a lovely outside deck, although I think today you would probably melt. And
they have a fan.
A girl and a dog out there.
Yeah. That's right.
That was all there was.
And they you know, people appreciate that we took the old welding shop and sort of kept it intact. And but it's been a great place. I can eat there. I can and do eat there a couple times a week.
I eat there twice last week.
So it's been good. And I wash it down with a donut.
With a high five donut.
The donut next
and
time.
Then a cup and of coffee at Red Hot Roasters.
Well, I'll tell you something you might not know. Work the Metal's opening a wine bar on this Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Coming up. And
it's wine and beer. And
another place to drink
mimosas. Well, you know, my office is in Butchertown Market, so I am 100% thrilled because I can just walk out my back door and mm-hmm. boom, I can belly up to the bar.
We did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely
did. It's going to be dangerous, and then you can shop
mm-hmm.
as well.
You can sip and shop.
Sip and shop.
So the wine bar, is it in the store?
Yes.
It's like in the middle of the store.
Yes.
It's in the back end, and they're going to have charcuterie and some snacks as well.
Yeah.
Back there, because I remember there used to be a...
There's a restaurant there.
Restaurant back there.
Right. And so this sort of took that
out. Jackknife was the restaurant.
Right.
So, Andy, you just have a reputation like twisting people's arms and getting them to start businesses in Butchertown. Is that what you do?
I have pictures. Pictures of people, and that's all I can say. No, you know, it's really interesting because what's so critical to what's happening in Butchertown is that we get the most creative, the most imaginative, the most entrepreneurial of these little companies, and we get sort of the cream of the crop. So we have these really interesting businesses that are really dynamic, and people want to work in Butchertown because they want to be able to walk somewhere. When the stadium is up, it's going to be crazy. So, you know, we just sort of saw that this was a possibility. But, you know, you can't plan on a soccer stadium being built in your backyard. And this is not humble bragging. Okay, I'm calling no humble brag. This is just luck. That happened, but you know what we did was we committed to trying to buy as much real estate as we could, and then try to fix it up as true as possible to what it was originally built for, because sure. these buildings that were built in the 1860s and 1870s and 1880s had this unbelievable workmanship that people love to hang out in. Mm-hmm. And so we just stay true to trying to bring things back. And then people fall in love with the real estate when they come to work the metal, and it's like a second home to them. They're very comfortable in the real estate. And they can always see Linda in there shopping.
I'm there all the time. I have to walk through Work the Metal to get to the mailbox. Okay. So what I do is I walk through, I take a lap around, just to see what's going on, see yes. Jack Mathis, the owner of Work the Metal.
Yeah, Jack's been on the show before.
We talk every day, and we are solving all the world's problems, and if people would just listen to us, mm-hmm. everyone would be happy.
Yeah, I say that too.
Every day. You know, so yeah. I walk around, I do a little shopping, see what's going on, I grab my mail, and then I come back. It's kind of dangerous.
It changes every day, too.
Right. It does change every day.
It really does. It's
right. Well, let me ask you, Linda, what the Business Association, which I admit not being familiar with, what are the activities? I mean, I guess it's growing like everything else, but what do you do?
We're just starting out, but we have, Copper and King that's they're very involved. Joe Heron has been very involved in the association and involved in Butchertown in general. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if everyone's seen the video that he just produced, but it's fabulous for the Butchertown Business Alliance. And then you have Play, Todd Roman, you have Naive, New, you have all of these.
Well, Todd's getting ready to build
a new thing,
15
too.
New apartments.
Where's that? Bought some property by Clay.
On East Washington Street. So it's across from the Butchertown Grocery.
Okay.
So that's the type
great
of,
area.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people have heard about that.
Right. But, he's just getting started on that. Mm-hmm. So that's something.
And I know of 6 new businesses that are coming to Butchertown.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear.
But I can't.
Well, also when you go down further, not just in our little, mm-hmm. what I call our little Butchertown market bubble, you have where the old Butchertown pub used to be. There's a new place.
Odeon,
right?
And then
that just opened.
I've been curious about that. Tell me what's going on with it.
I don't know exactly what's going on with it, but it's just getting going.
Right.
Yeah, it's a music venue. And the people that own it just renovated. They took a long time and they renovated it, and I haven't seen it yet. But
it's awesome.
It's supposed to be way cool.
It's very cool. And then
your new band I heard about will be playing there, I'm sure.
No, they're not really a band. We're having our premiere finale at Thor Castle at Party Cove, July 15th
Woo-hoo!
At 5:00. Bring your glow sticks. Bring your sparkle.
Yeah,
we're going to bring our glow sticks.
It's
going to
be a jam.
And then finally the question can be answered, what do you do on stage?
And what do you
play?
I can't answer any sort of instrument?
I can't answer that.
No,
you're going to have to come to the show. You?
He plays his mouth.
Well, I do. I'm a song and dance man.
Yes, he is.
I can attest
to that, but that's for sure.
Well, you'll certainly be riding your bike over there, right, to get there.
Absolutely. I rode my bike here.
Sure.
My mom says I can't tote anybody, so if you need a ride, I can't tote you.
Can't ride on the handlebars?
Well, if it's a short enough ride, I can, but
you
just don't say anything.
Every time I see him on his bike and he's not wearing a helmet,
easy. This
what
is
I
Kevlar.
Put your helmet on.
And then she gets mad at me for reading my phone while I'm riding my bike without a helmet on. Right.
That's tough. I've been caught reading my phone on my bike, and it's not a good look.
It's
not a good look.
People should not.
I've hit parked cars.
You know what else is opening pretty soon is the Family Community Clinic is expanding, and George Fisher, the mayor's father, just raised a whole bunch of money and almost $1 million.
At
St. Joseph Catholic
Church. Right, which is on East Washington.
They're renovating. It used to be a really small, like two-room clinic,
mm-hmm.
and they're expanding it and they're making it. So they were serving volunteer. All the doctors are volunteer. All their nurses are volunteer. All of their staff is volunteer, with the exception of one person. They pay the executive director to run it. But they serve about 5,000 families, I believe, a year.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
For free, completely for free. And they have to have translators because they have a lot of the immigrant population.
Okay.
And so that's a really neat thing that's going to be right in our bubble, too.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say there's Big Fly, which is a baseball training facility, is opening up on Franklin Street, close to the stadium, and they're going to have a gym, and they have three really nice batting cages for kids.
Awesome!
So,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so while the kids are practicing baseball, the parents can work out in the gym that's attached to it.
Because I always love to do that.
That's
well,
what you do.
Yeah. Speaking about riding bikes. So
all right.
I just have to tell you really quick. So I talked to Linda, and Linda says, I like riding bikes, but they won't go uphill.
Right. My bike is broken.
It won't
go uphill.
It needs more pedal power.
Hey,
no. It's broken.
Yes, it's broken.
It's totally.
They need to get a new bike.
Well, I got a new bike.
That's for a future Rusty Satellite show to figure out that conundrum.
That's
what are we going to do? All right, last question. Got to wrap it up. What's Butchertown missing? What are we looking for still?
What is Butchertown missing? You know, we are the neighborhood that we have love and tolerance and inclusion.
Yes, we do.
We are green.
We are.
We want everybody to visit and walk around. We are missing a soccer stadium.
Yes, we are.
Well, that's not
guess missing. What? It's coming.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We've already heard in the show from Mike Mountjoy about that that great
and what a great
stadium.
Job those guys have done.
Well, and I think the soccer stadium is obviously going to bring more restaurants and more fun.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Cool stuff.
Everyone.
All right, I'd love to have you guys on every week. It's such fun.
Careful,
Rusty Satellite.
What you ask for?
Because we have some. We're open, actually.
For the rest of time, we can do that.
Yeah. Well, we love being on your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kaiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Kaiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Kaiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And yes, I always have a good time hanging out with Andy down in Butchertown. He is he did mention briefly the Forecastle Festival, which is coming up next weekend. I hope to bring you a guest representing the Forecastle Festival next week. But Andy is apparently very mysterious about what role he's going to play, but he's going to be on a stage on Sunday the 15th, I think, at the Forecastle Festival. So something to look out for, along with a great lineup of musical acts, and there's food and drink and all that, all coming up at the Forecastle Festival next weekend. Looking forward to that. In this part, I'm going to keep this very brief because this part of the show is when I usually talk about news going on in Louisville. I really want to call your attention to one story that just really got to me. I mean, I do not like Governor Matt Bevin. It seems like he does. He's a baby because he cries whenever he doesn't get his way, and he starts calling people names. And now he has figured out a way that he's mad at a judge that didn't like his plan to require people on Medicaid and to work. Bevin's idea is that anybody that's receiving any benefits from the government should work. And you know, maybe there's parts of that idea that I can get behind, but certainly not that. Oh wow, we're really having weather here. There's an emergency alert. Anyway, Bevin's basically cut vision and dental benefits for 500,000 Kentuckians. And why? Because he didn't get his way in court. Of course, he's blaming someone else for this happening. And he blamed the judge. There's a federal judge who ruled that imposing work requirements and other changes to the to Medicaid was not going to happen. And, you know, he had a plan to overhaul this Medicaid program and require people to work or volunteer or something like that. Well, it's just not the right thing. And rather than come up with a better plan, Bevin just said, okay, I'll cut vision and dental benefits for 460,000 Kentucky, making national news with that. It's a setback. The story I'm reading says it's also a setback for the Trump administration, hip, hip, hooray, and because, you know, that's sort of the mindset of these Republicans is to begrudgingly provide any benefits for the less fortunate. They really have no heart, in my view. So that's my political statement for the week here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Let's get back to more fun stuff. How about that? I want to mention my friends at Heiser Health who have transformed my body and myself for me. I go to an exercise class three times a week and building up muscles, and I've lost a ton of weight, not a ton, about 20 pounds in the last 3 months thanks to this program. It's all about taking the right vitamins, eating the right food, and getting the right amount of exercise. So it's going to help. I'm going to be playing a lot of golf this weekend, and it really helps me. I feel better on the golf course. I can bend over and line up putts and stuff. So if you're interested in getting yourself healthy again and get some great advice on nutrition, get some great exercise, and learn what vitamins to take, give them a call over at Heiser Health. They're right there in the Melwood Arts Center is the one I go to. They also have an East End location, so you can work out at either place. It's really cool. So I'm going to move on. I want to talk a little bit about my other show, the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast, that is on this same Louisville.am network. We had a delightful guest this week. Her name is Madeline D. She runs the Fonz in Louisville. It's on Frankfort Avenue. I walked past it from my house over the weekend in Clifton, and she has figured out how to run a very successful business. She's an entrepreneur. She has dinner for 12 Friday and Saturday night, and the cost is $95. You get six courses, and she has sold out like through the end of August. And if you met her, you would understand, because she's just a delightful person. She's an entertainer, and she's got a lot of other stuff going on. One thing that she mentioned is she is going to be play a major role in the upcoming Logan Street Market. Logan Street Market is in Shelby Park. You may remember I had Mike and Medora Safai on this show a while back, and they were talking about their plans for the old Axton Candy Factory in Shelby Park. It's a big, big building, and he has plans for a brewery and several other things, and plans have been delayed, but Madeline told us that by November that place will be open, and so that's a very, I think, that's a very exciting thing. That's coming up. New openings. Talk about. I read something in my email today about the Pizza Bar, which is the restaurant that's taken the place of Birachibo on 4th Street Live. I'm sure you probably heard about that. The Pizza Bar is opening this month, and on July 19th, I just got an email, on July 19th, you can go out there and get some pizza for free. How about that? I may break my self-imposed ban on pizza for that one, because it's not on my diet, and I don't have anything against pizza. I like pizza. Hey, last night, I went to another really cool place, very popular spot, and it's right next to where I'm living. It's called Chicken and Me. It's a favorite of, like Chef Bobby Benjamin talked about going there. The food is just fantastic. The spice on the chicken, basically it's like chicken tenders. The spice is just the right amount of heat for me, and on the jubong flavor that you can get right there at Chicken and Me in on Lower Brownsboro Road. So we're making the rounds. Another announcement we had on the Eat Drink Talk show was that Brownies the Shed, a very popular neighborhood bar on Whittington Parkway, has been there many, many years. But that whole complex where Brownies currently resides is going away. There's a big new thing coming in there, and they're moving over on Lynn Station Road. They're going to open a new facility right there on Lynn Station Road. It won't be much of a travel thing. You know, people get used to it pretty quickly, and I'm sure the facility will be as good or better than the original Brownies there on Whittington Parkway. So that's the news coming out of Eat, Drink, Talk this week. But I want to spend some time. I wanted to get to telling you about Mike Mountjoy, who is just one of those people who makes things happen in this city. And he is. Let me just tell you the read from the website where his bio is for Mountjoy Chilton and Medley, the accounting firm. He's hold board positions on like the Gaines Foundation, the Louisville Library Foundation, the Louisville Orchestra, the Speed Art Museum, the Community Foundation, the Chamber of Commerce, Leadership Louisville, Louisville Central Area, Olmsted Park, Boy Scouts. The list goes on and on. The YMCA. He's part of the UK Basketball Museum. He's done a lot, and what he's doing now may be the most important thing, because he is making sure that this soccer stadium gets built. When they had the groundbreaking last week, simultaneously, it's a big day in Butchertown because the Main and Clay Apartments, which you heard about with Linda and Andy, had a opening on the same day. And in 2020, just a year and a half from now, there's going to be a soccer stadium over there in Butchertown, and a lot of other construction is going to be underway. There's a lot of associated businesses going to make this happen. And Mike heads a group of, I think there's like 42 investors, and they're putting their money where their mouth is. They're putting their behind it. The city is not, is not a full partner in this like they were when they built Slugger Field. This is a the city is providing the land, but they're going to get paid back, as Mike explains. And it's really a entrepreneurial venture for this group. And we're lucky to have them. We're lucky to have a soccer team, our best chance at professional sports in this city, other than minor league, because there is a plan to move up to the major leagues of soccer. And this stadium is a big key to doing it. So I got to sit down with Mike and talk about that. I want to let you hear the interview right now.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
Okay, today I'm in Butchertown, a Butchertown-focused show. I'm with Mike Mountjoy. And Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here.
I tell you, Butchertown's an exciting place these days. We had a big event last week, and you were right in the middle of it. Tell me about the groundbreaking for the soccer stadium.
Well, we did have a big event with a big crowd. All the right people were there, the mayor, the governor, the dignitaries. It was a wonderful event. It was a little hot, about 95 degrees. I think everybody got sunburned, but it was a great groundbreaking, which we were happy to do as we've gone through this planning for this larger development around the soccer stadium. It's all been exciting. So the groundbreaking was a good point to get.
So that represents a moment in time, I guess.
Yes.
This is the day in 2018, there was the groundbreaking ceremony. So a lot was leading up to that. Tell me where you got involved.
Well, I've been involved since the beginning of actually acquiring the USL franchise from Orlando and bringing the team here, and us playing in Slugger, knowing that we had to get out of the Slugger lease at some point because we don't have any concessions. Knew we would, to stay in the league, we would have to build a soccer-specific stadium. Those are going to be requirements for league play going forward. So we knew we had to do that. And municipalities over the last 10 or 15 years decided not to build stadiums for teams, as they did for the Bats in Slugger. The city built that, leases it. So we knew we were going to have to build it. We knew we had to find a site. It became clear to me that we needed a bigger site than just a stadium to do a master development agreement around it, to have other assets, if you will, around the core, which is the diamond in the middle, with being the stadium. So
you couldn't just build a soccer stadium out in the middle of the field and expect people to come and pay for it.
No, we couldn't. And actually, when we did all of this, looking at USL and MLS, those leagues would like you to have a stadium downtown, central business district, near where the millennials live or want to live. Mm-hmm. If there's water nearby, they like you being near the water. So they have pretty specific ideas about, and we've got all of that going.
Yeah. So the let's clarify that for people that don't know the role of Metro government in the financing of the stadium, because I also read that the size of the package grew last week. I guess it was originally going to be like $45 million, and I guess it's now $60 million.
Well, pardon me. The stadium itself, yes, it's going to cost a little more than we originally planned. Now, the $45 million was kind of the first blush at building the stadium at 10,000 seats, at 4,500 a seat. As we got into it with the architects over the last year and a half or so, we knew that it was going to be more than that. So it wasn't a big surprise that we're at $65 million, but we got 11,300 seats out of that, plus about 2,500 standing room area in the end. When it's not just it's standing room with rails, so a lot of these fans don't ever sit down anyway. So it gives us the ability to put 13,000, 14,000 people in the stands.
Well, I think one of the things I hear around town is, who's paying for it? I mean, how is this $60 million, whatever it is, there's some participation by Metro?
Yeah, well, I'll explain to you that. We got the options on the ground, all of the 37 acres in the site. We transferred those options to the city under a master development agreement where they would transfer then options back to us to acquire that land from the city. The city closed on it, so the city owns all the land. We have the rights to buy it back as we develop it. Okay. The city bought, and the city agreed to buy the land. It's about $25 million to buy it all. They're going to spend $5 million on infrastructure that the council approved, you know, roads and sidewalks and the like.
Okay.
And then we take it from there. The stadium, as you said, the stadium will be about $65 million. We'll pay for that out of our capital and debt financing. We do have a TIF, tax increment financing from the state, that's a $21.7 million amount. Now, that comes to us over potentially a 20-year period of time.
Okay.
So we don't get that money up front, but it will help us as we go down the line. So the city participates, the state participates, and then we privately participate. It's a it's a public-private partnership, if you will.
Okay. At some point, I want to get to some other parts, but at some point, so you're bringing in as it's built and then brings in money, do you pay the city back that money? Or
yes, we have an agreement to pay the city back. Of that $30 million they'll have invested, two things we agreed to. In our tax increment financing, we will not take any of the tax revenue that was to go to the city. So they'll keep all of the tax revenue.
Okay,
that's a big return of what they've put into it, the tax revenue that the site generates. And in addition to that, we pay the city back $14.5 million over a period of time of what they put into it.
Okay. Well, I'm playing the part of a citizen who doesn't know anything about this, but where does all the money come from? How did this money happen?
Well, the city bonded their money to buy the land. So they issued a bond.
But you've got a group of investors, I guess.
Oh, yes, yes. We have 42 investors, 42-3 investors in the team. We're putting up all the private capital.
Okay.
And then, of course, we'll do bank financing with banks.
All right. Well, that all makes sense for the stadium. What's going on around it? Because what your involvement is the development of, what, 30-something acres?
Yeah, there's 37 acres around it. So the stadium will take up about 15 acres itself, and the stadium will include more than just a stadium. I mean, it's going to have a club room, and they'll seat 100 for dinner, and it's going to have four locker rooms and a lot of those kind of amenities. But around it, we're covered in our TIF, in our proposal, for a total project of $193 million, which would include 300,000 feet of office space, office, and about 60,000 feet of retail, shopping and restaurants and the like, two hotels, possibly an apartment building and so forth. So there's a lot of development around the stadium to benefit from being in the site where the stadium is.
Okay. And I guess people always ask, hotels, restaurants, and all that. Is it we're going to build a stadium and they will come, or are there deals pending with some of those operators?
Well, we have a number of restaurants that have contacted us that would love to be in the site. We've talked to a number of potential office tenants for the site. Now, we haven't signed any letters or anything because we don't even have a building. We don't have a building design yet, much less out of the ground. We've got some layouts for the total ground, how the buildings would be laid out. HOK did that for us. But we'll probably have a competition, architectural competition, on how the buildings should look and how they should be configured and so forth. Once we get to that point, then we'll start talking seriously about office tenants who want to be in there. But we've had a fairly substantial interest so far. I don't want to knock on wood. We hope they keep coming, and we hope they fill it up.
Give away the secrets right now if you'd like on the Rusty Satellite Show. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about practical. We had a groundbreaking last week.
Yeah.
When are we going to see some dirt turning over there?
Well, how long
is it going
to
take?
Okay. Up to this point, it was buy the ground, clear the ground, take down all the structures on the ground. All of that has been done. Now, what you're going to see beginning in the next 2 weeks is the site work for the stadium. We have to dig a bathtub. The stadium is actually, the pitch itself is lower than the upper terrain, so you'll walk in at a mezzanine level, walk down to the stadium. You'll start to see that hole develop and the ground being moved to build the stadium. That'll be over the next 2 or 3 months. Steel and concrete will start coming out of the ground late this fall. We have to be in the stadium playing a match in March of 2020. Wow. So that's okay. A year and a half from now. We got to be up, in, and ready to go. So we'll do that between now and then.
All right. So one more year in Slugger for the team.
Well, yes. We got to play. The league gives us grief constantly because we've got turf on base paths, and you know, we got two different surfaces. But we're trying. They'd like for us to play somewhere other than Slugger, but we hopefully can get through Slugger one more year, and then we'll move into the state.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about soccer because I don't know what your background is in soccer, but you were telling me about, you know, the crazy fans. We're talking about World Cup this week, and you know, I can't motivate myself to get interested enough in that, but soccer is certainly on an upswing in Louisville. What do you attribute
soccer
that to?
Well, soccer is on an upswing in the United States. Soccer dominates the world sport, not the United States. You know, NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, the Big Three. And the Big Three have been way up there for a long time, but soccer's trajectory is coming up very fast. MLS, USL, the second tier, now there'll be a third tier next year. So soccer's moving very quickly here in the United States. Some comments about Louisville. Louisville, two weeks ago in the World Cup that you mentioned, viewership of that World Cup event in the United States, Louisville was the third city in terms of viewership of those World Cup games. When Portland played Toronto in the MLS Finals last year, 2 years ago, Louisville was second behind Seattle. It watching that game. So there are a ton of soccer fans in Louisville watching premier soccer in Europe and so forth, and a lot of those are coming to our game, and we hope more come as we go.
Yeah, I'm always curious about this. You're just a guy that lives in Louisville. I think you said you played football, so did I. How did you get yourself interested in soccer?
Well, I got interested in helping my friend Wayne Estoppel when we actually bought the team from the USL franchise from Orlando and brought it here 4 years ago. So that was my involvement. I really didn't know anything about soccer. I played a lot of sports. My dad was a coach and all that. But what I did in my due diligence to look at that, I realized the future value of soccer. And what I told our investor group, this is not an investment for us to make a ton of money. This is an investment that we wanted to make for the city of Louisville, because what we need in this city is we need assets that attract and retain young people. That's critical to the future of Louisville. I've been in this city for 40 years now. So you can tell I probably got out of college before that. But here's my point. You know, we need the things that attract those young people to stay here and come here. Amazon showed that, and when they did their HQ2, you know, you needed to have professional sports. So when I got involved in this thing initially, I went to the mayor and said, I think we can do Major League Soccer here. That's the one thing we probably can do. He agreed. That's been our intent from the beginning. Okay. And we want to get into the stadium. We want to apply for an MLS status, and we want to move to that MLS at a point in time in the future when it's available.
Move on up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one question about the current things that are going on. A lot of news last week about the coach leaving. How big of a blow is that? And go ahead and tell me who the new coach is.
Well, I can't tell you who the new coach is because we haven't selected one yet. I can tell you who the three new interim coaches are, though. Three of our players will step in as interim coaches, two of which have expressed an interest in being in coaching once they finish their careers.
Okay.
And you'll hear Luke Spencer talk a lot on the radio and on TV. He'll be the spokesman for the group, but George Davis and Paolo will be the other two interim coaches to run the team. I think the guys are excited about that. I think that, you know, they will miss James completely. But this was not unknown to us. James, you know, when you're the top guy at one level, you're going to have opportunities at the other level.
Right.
He had other opportunities. He loved it here. He didn't want to leave for the sake of leaving, but he couldn't turn down what they'd offered him in Orlando to go back down there and coach that team. So we were happy for him. We've gotten more press by him leaving than we've gotten anything else we've done, so it's been pretty good for us. But I will tell you, I mean, we must have had 15 or 20 resumes the next day. I mean, from top quality coaches all over the world.
Okay.
Because Louisville is a place they want to come.
Sure.
We have a championship team on the pitch today. We have a stadium coming out of the ground as we speak before March of 2020 that's going to be a premier stadium in the USL League.
Yeah,
so well, we've got all the tools.
We're in the middle of the season, though. How long do you go with interim coaches?
Well, we'll go until we hire someone to be the full-time coach. We're not going to rush into that. We want to be sure we get the right person. And we believe our three interim guys can do the job. You know, we believe they're motivated to do this, but we know so it may take us a month or two, but you know, we're not in a big rush.
Okay.
We want to get the right person, not the first person.
All right. Well, have to wrap it up here. Good luck the rest of the season. More anxious to see what comes out of the ground over here. But
well, it's going to come out of the ground, and we look forward to seeing you come to one of the games or all of the games. We're going to play Chicago in Chicago, the Chicago Fire, in this Hunt Cup on July the 18th. We're the last team in the USL playing in the Hunt Cup. In other words, we're the last team standing, so we've gotten the award for that already. But if we go up and beat this MLS team in Chicago, it'll kind of tell them we've already beaten one MLS team in this cup play, you know, the New England Revolution, and this will be the Chicago Fire. So our boys want to go to Chicago and beat the MLS team.
All right, well, that's great. I know there'll be great crowds out here at Slugger for as long as we have played Slugger. And 2020, a new place.
That's exactly right.
And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited about what's going on down in Butchertown. Thanks to both Andy Bleeden and Linda Schuster and to Mike Mountjoy for spending a little time with me and being on the Rusty Satellite Show. It is the home of the most interesting people in the Ville, the city's coolest podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Rusty Satellite. And there is, of course, a Rusty Satellite Facebook page. And I also operate LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city. And every week you can hear a second podcast from me and my partner, Carolyn McLean. It is called Eat, Drink, Talk, right here on the Louisville.am network. So that's what keeps me busy most of the time. And very happy to be involved in all the things that I get to do as part of this this whole podcast venture. 5 years of worth of doing Rusty Satellite Show podcast. I can't believe it. It's like I went through and saw all the people associated with Louisville City FC that I've had on the show, and it was a pretty good list. So it only happens because, as I told Dan Vonderheide, our producer, when he called me 5 years ago and asked me to do this show, he said, not this show, but he said, you ought to do a podcast. You ought to host a podcast. I said, I've got enough hobbies unless I've, I want it to be a business. And it became a business when Passport Health Plan signed on as a sponsor. They're still with me, re-upped for another year recently. So very happy to have them. And, of course, the Greater Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau bring you the Bourbon City Guest of the Week each week. And this time it was Mike Mountjoy of Louisville City FC. Have to mention, the brand-new news this week, the Eye Care Institute is back on board thanks to Mark Prussian and his group over there. What a great place that is. I've been going over there to get some eye treatment recently. And also my friends at Heiser Health. And you know all about my health improvement thanks to those guys at Heiser Health and Peggy and the gang over there. So that's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. I'm thrilled to be here with you. I know it's 4th of July weekend. By the time you hear this, the 4th has come and gone, and I'm on the road. But it's great. There's a lot of great stuff going on. I will have been at the Crescent Hill 4th of July Festival. It's one of the biggest ones in the city. And I can go out my front door in Clifton and be right in the middle of it. So that's a pretty cool thing as well. So anyway, hope you can share the show with your friends. Feel free to get in touch with me. The best way may be on Facebook, Rick Redding. I'll be happy to friend you, unless you're some female who has like two friends and your site is only a week old. Then I'm suspicious that you're really a person listening to the show. I get those a lot, but you can reach out to me on Facebook or LinkedIn or on our Twitter feed or any way else. It's easy to get in touch with me if you got a suggestion for a guest or if you want to just give me some feedback on the show. I'd be glad to hear it, even if it's not great. I can handle criticism. Believe me. All right, that's going to do it. I'm going to get out of here, start enjoying the holiday weekend. I hope you are too. This is the Rusty Satellite Show in Louisville, Kentucky.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Rick E. Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.